Hey guys, welcome back. So that special guest star that I talked about, well, she popped up from V and from Lost. She managed to drop into The Expanse, and the A-Team, is it finally together? And I'm talking everybody that we like on The Expanse. And finally, hey, I think the kids are turning into Smurfs. Find out next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And it's just this calm, chill, like for like a sci-fi. There's no like big bomb, bum, 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 bum.
But all of a sudden, boom, children. It's like, oh,
there we go. I love when that happens. Hey guys, welcome back. You are watching the after show for The Expanse. We're on episode 2, and I'm joined by Cherry Davis.
Hey.
So, Carrie Lane will be, she was going to be here leading this panel this week. I know everybody that misses Carrie Lane, but she will be back. At Westworld started tonight, so she's actually getting prepping for that. So, you guys have me and Cherry. We did a fantastic job last week, so that's why you're going to tune in for this week.
I know. Last week was mind-boggling, and this week's episode, I was literally watching it at home, and I screamed. I was like, the children.
Hey, guys, and for those who are watching live, don't forget to join into the chat. Pop in your thoughts. We'll look in from time to time and try to answer some of your questions, give you guys some shout-outs and everything. So I have to say, most of the episodes, I mean, granted, this is more fresh in my mind than previous seasons, this episode might be one of my all-time favorites.
I really enjoyed the interplay. I mean, they're still not getting along, but I'm seeing new friendships. I was really surprised at how much I like Dr. Pratt's Ming as being the new moral center. And when he does a moral center, like, he's really making a conscious choice to sacrifice as opposed to it being very abstract because he's looking for his child, but he still is doing the common good or the greater good for humanity in general.
Okay. Where do you want to start? Should we start on, I mean, the Contorta? Should we talk about Avasarala and Bobby? I mean,
Girl power.
Let's talk about the ladies.
Yes.
Let's talk. I mean, so clearly they were able to escape.
I was really surprised at Bobby being able to not only pilot the ship but keep them alive, as well as her basic medical knowledge, because it didn't even occur to me that Christian wasn't necessarily in the best shape to experience G, and she was giving her all these pointers of, you know, are you having a heart attack? This is what you need to do. Contort your thighs. I was like, well, I don't think I can contort my thighs. So I was like, I'd have a heart attack.
So let me ask you the question from last week again, and I want to see the answer again, is are you a, after we've watched this, after we've watched them in space doing all their things, are you an Earther? Are you a Martian? Or are you a Belter?
Gosh, I'm beginning to think I like the moral stance of the Martians.
The Martians? Okay.
I was surprised because everyone is always saying they're super military and they're only on their mind for one thing. But with last week's episode and this week's episode, it's showing that they might have somewhat of a militaristic way of running their government, but they're still more humane than it feels like our fellow Earthers are. And the Birthers Belters are so concerned with just surviving. They have a hard time thinking about anything else other than trying to feed themselves, get oxygen, get water. And so I really, really, really liked it. And I'm still flabbergasted by Alex Kamal's little speech that he did last week, his little monologue. I felt that was just really encapsulating of what Mars is about as opposed to what I'd first thought from the first two seasons.
Because, like, I'm thinking, just this is what I said last week, and I just, if you guys watch Cherry Social just now, she talks about space travel, and that's what I'm saying. I got to be an Earther because I have no desire to go into space. After watching this episode, and, I mean, Bobby and Avassar are all in that ship, it's very much clear. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't do a good job at all. I'd be throwing up. I'd be passing out. And, yeah, I mean, there's all those, like, little tricks. Like, she's sitting there saying, squeeze your legs together, yes. And then, and... The greatness about Avassarala Christian, as you like to call her, because she's Christian Avassarala, is that she has all her little quips. And the first one you brought up is the fact that
the legs.
Oh. Yeah, and, you know, yeah, exactly. And she's just kind of like, hey, well, if you're into women,
that's that was not... so funny. Bobby was looking at her like, you're a little outside my age range, but okay, whatever. One of the things that I thought was really interesting about this episode was that it was a major reminder that Bobby was probably in ships that were not as posh as Christian is used to. And so I thought, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Like, because when you see the ship she was usually traveling in, you had the fancy couches.
Right. She's in a larger, I guess it's no different than we as people. Live it like flying commercial airlines, but not being in fighter pilot ships or being in that, where you've got to experience the 0 Gs or the 4 Gs or the like a 6 G, even though I don't think that actually exists. But
she was in super first class. She wasn't even American airline first class. She was in that Emeritus Air first class.
Yes.
Where they have a bed and crap. And we're like not even in coach. We're probably more in line of being in a military plane where they're like, just strap yourself in. You'll be fine.
I think we're like in the $6 million man like test ship. And Avassarala is like, right, she's hanging out with Jennifer Aniston on Emeritus. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, so did you see, this is what makes the show so great and her Avassarala's character so great, is that they give her all the great lines. And I literally, so I'm watching it and I understand how she's getting sick, but I didn't even see the whole thing where she was like, if you're hitting on me.
Oh, that was hilarious.
It was so funny, but it was like so out there. I was like, you're on a ship, you're trying to escape from peril, and like you're making jokes about like being hit on. Or I don't know if she actually felt like she was really being hit on or just being funny.
People probably hit on her all the time. She's a powerful, attractive woman. She's very stylish. And, you know, she's like, you know, hey, well, you know what, girl? I'm not really feeling that, but...
Or then maybe too, I was thinking that because she's on the ship and she's experiencing that like that fast, maybe like there's a little bit of lightheadedness, and so you're going a little delusional, hallucinating a little bit. So it's just kind of like whatever's. It's like someone putting gas. You know, gas
laughing
up your mouth.
Gas.
Yeah, laughing gas when you're at the dentist. So you're just kind of like, is this real life? So like maybe, I don't know. You know,
feed. I don't know what they were doing on the ship. They may have given her something to calm her down before she got on the ship because she was like, what do you mean take off my jewelry? And she was like, what? And that looked to me like, because I've been in sports cars where they're driving really fast.
Yes.
And I think I drive fast. But when I've been in a car with a professional driver, I am like, no. I do not want to do this. It isn't as much fun as you think it
right.
is. Because you're wheeling around. You're totally out of control. And I think Christian, on the norm, is very much in control. I mean,
yes.
she's at a level yes. where she is calling the shots. She's telling people what to do. And for her to lose that control, as well as dealing with the fact that her husband and her family are still on Earth, where they could hypothetically be used against her to make her turn herself in. Or commit harikari or whatever, because we saw from the meeting, Secretary General Esteban Gillis is not the man that Reverend Dr. Anna Valvon knew back when they were in the trenches protesting for equality.
And we'll get there in a second. So we'll get to the introduction of Elizabeth Mitchell in a little bit, but with regards to the two of them on the ship, and then, like, there's the whole... Like, I wonder, like, that was kind of cool how they... Right, she said, like, do the leg thing, like, squeeze your legs together. And then she also said, whistle. And that'll help prevent you from thinking about what's going on.
And it would help you breathe. It was... She was telling her to do medical things that even now in real life they tell you to do if you think you're having a heart attack. If they'd been able to get up, I think she would have been like, dude, I need to give you a low-dose aspirin or something. And we have one person in our chat. Hey, Marvin. What's up?
What up, Marvin?
I thought that was very well done. And one of the other things that I really like about both the actresses is that they are able to emote without saying anything, just from their expressions. I find The Expanse is one of those shows that you really can't half-heartedly watch or just listen to. There's a lot of things going on just with their expressions, just looking at what they're doing, that is very enriching of the story. And so sometimes I might, this is one of the few shows I really sit down and I watch and really look at it, and I'm not doing anything else while I'm doing it.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and so, like, this is something that Carrie Lane mentioned, who was supposed to be on today. She'll be back next week, I promise. If she doesn't, then I'm kicking her butt out of here. No. But she brought up the fact that what she thought was really cool about Bobby and Asarala, especially with the directing of this episode, was the chairs. Mm-hmm. Them, like, in the chairs, and they're flipping around, and it's, I mean, it makes it seem like it's, like, either... the game that you play,
joystick, and you're like spinning around to do.
Yeah, like it's you're either on a ride, mm-hmm. you're either on a ride or
and in I a mean, cockpit.
Yeah, and I wonder what they're actually experiencing. Is it when they're like doing that scene?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder how they built the. Like, I mean, I want to know what that set looks like. I want to know what that ship looks like when they're sitting there. If it's cameras that are moving around and they're just telling them move left, move right, or if it's actually like them physically moving,
like a
ride.
That would be an interesting question. Hopefully, we'll get them in one time.
One of the two,
really
at least.
Soon. One thing that I also like about them is it feels very much that at first I thought Christian was simply the brain and that Bobby was going to be the brawn. But it's, as we're getting to know Bobby in this new incarnation, she's not just brawn. She's very deliberate and thoughtful. Because I forgot, in the first season, she was a captain or something.
She's a leader, yeah.
Yes. And it's reminding us that she wasn't a grunt, that she was in charge herself, just in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, like I said, with the quips, I mean, Carrie is a little note about the quips is of Asarala telling Bobby, pilots carry me to kill things. Oh, no, sorry, Bobby, sorry. Bobby pilots. Says that to Asarala when they're talking about, the space is that Bobby says, you know, pilots usually carry me to kill things. So that's why she's like, that's why I'm not a pilot, but I've at least experienced being in these types of ships.
Yes, and she's experienced with G-Force, and she was saying that she could handle up to 4. So who knows what that would feel like, but it feels like that would be, I suspect that would be very unpleasant.
Well, we got two awesome women in that scene. And an awesome woman that we have here is our fearless leader, Maria Menounos. And so if you guys want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we've got the perfect podcast for you. It's Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, fearless leader, our own kind of Asarala, and drops every Friday on iTunes. And she's a bit of Bobby as well. She's a badass. So Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's free, and be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was the Expanse after show that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Check it out every Friday on iTunes, and I guarantee that Maria probably even knows some of the Bobby tricks with, you know, this is how you don't pass out and everything. So
she is very healthy. I was listening to it this past Friday. They had a doctor on who is a breast cancer doctor, and she was talking about the importance of how you eat and cutting out meat. And I've been trying to eat a lot more healthier, so I listened to that. So I'm going to try and eat healthier, but it's really hard. But I love listening to Maria and her guests because they always make me think.
And she's got a very pleasant, soothing voice. So I think I want to tackle the guys that the ship last, the guys on the ship last. But should we move? So since you brought it up, so I talked about it in the teaser. I talked about it last week, and someone that I think is like just fantastic to add to this show is Elizabeth Mitchell. From Lost, yes. And she comes in as Anna.
Reverend Anna.
That's right. She's a reverend. That's like a whole new twist. Like, I don't know if we've actually covered like religion or religious figure quite in this series yet.
No, we haven't. And I like that her background is in protest, and that she is very confident not only in her religion but in speaking back to everyone. When Sadovar decided to be sort of condescending about people who believe in God, she immediately stepped up to him and was like, no, you're being condescending. And she called him on his bullcrap. I think
he's got a lot of bullcrap to be called out on, though. So
he does. His plotting, his scheming, his alliances. I think she's going to be one of the ones that will sort of be whispering in the Secretary General's ear, and I think he might listen to her more so than even him, since he has a long relationship with her.
Well, it was interesting to see her introduction to the series. Yeah, like you were talking about, there was a protest.
Yes.
There's a protest going on, and I was trying to think, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, when, because she's only like a special guest star recurring. She's not going to, I don't think she's in every episode this season. So I was, I wasn't sure how fast she was going to be coming in, but that's like a perfect way just to like introduce kind of, or give you an idea that yes, she is used to protest. And she deals with like the soldier guy mm-hmm. on top of a protester, and I mean, just really cool just to say, like, yeah, dude, I'm used to this.
I thought it was really interesting the way at first the secretary tried to insinuate that she was invited, and then she reminded him, you came to my church with Marines, you landed in our parking lot. And she did not feel as if she was truly invited. She felt like she was constricted. And when you look at that beautifully decorated room they have her in, to me it looks like a gilded cage. It looks more like a prison versus her really having the right to be able to go in and out, because she's in the Secretary General's residence, which has a lot of access. And I didn't see her getting any kind of ID badge to be able to go in and out when she wanted to.
What do you think? What did you think about their little like kind of the hint like at their relationship? Not like a physical romantic relationship, but just the fact that they do go far back. You know, clearly like in terms of like their dialogue when they're talking to each other.
I think that he was idealistic as she was at one time, but power has corrupted him. When he casually says how they could use their enemies' families to get them to turn themselves in, for instance, Mao's family that is still here on Earth. And she immediately reminded them that's what dictators do. And are you a dictator? It's a crime of war. And he kind of like backed off, but he didn't really say he wasn't going to do that. He just sort of like, oh, that's how she is.
So do we think that like he's kind of like the puppet?
I don't think he's a puppet. I think he may not know everything that's going on.
So but that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think that's why like, I kind of feel like he's a little bit of a, not in a condescending bad way, mm-hmm. but just because, right, since he doesn't have as much, like he wants to think that everybody has the, I mean, basically what the way I look at it is it's like that Sadovar Ehrenreich mm-hmm. is corrupting him or like poisoning, you know, how his beliefs and like what, so like, or do you feel like the Secretary General is just as bad as Ehrenreich?
I think he's just as ambitious as he is, because he was very willing to immediately assume that Christian had plotted to overthrow or cause a war without any proof. Like, he didn't even show him anything. He just said, oh, I think, or this is what I happened. And he grasped on it so far, I think, because he felt she was, she stood up to him in the previous season, telling him not to start a war, and she was pushing back. And I think he thought, this is a great way to get someone out of the circle of power that will allow me to do what I want. I mean, he is just as ambitious. He's just as not nice as Sadovar. He doesn't seem quite as evil as Sadovar. I don't know what Sadovar is.
I mean, Ehrenreich's done a lot of bad things. So, I mean, clearly he's not. We clearly know he is not good. And he is not looking at the overall good. I mean, he is definitely a bad, bad man.
His allegiance with Mao, with them building the protomolecule and wanting to have some sort of a weapon, which I don't think was originally going to be the protomolecule children. It looked like it was some sort of weapon system that he was buying.
Yeah, exactly.
But the fact that he was buying it, and it sounds like he was buying it kind of on his own without the Secretary General, it feels as if he is trying to maybe usurp or overthrow the current Earth government and put himself up in power. Because I don't think he wants the Secretary as a puppet. I think he wants to be king of the world, as they say. I think he's looking at Mars as well. I think he wants everything.
So this is why you think that you're a Martian, is because you're like, why would people on Earth be like this? Why would they do this?
I don't understand why we can't all get along. why they're not able to share their land, their water. Oh, hey, we have a lot of questions. So Marvin is not feeling Anna. How can he not love Anna? She's like one of my favorite actors. I've seen her in so many sci-fi, geeky, nerdy shows. I'm like, she's my girl.
Man, Marvin, I tell you what, if I didn't enjoy you watching us right now and being in the chat, I would tell you to turn this off because I love Elizabeth Mitchell. I love Anna, but maybe you don't like her. I mean, I don't know, dude. Do you like her character or like, do you like her as an actress? Maybe
he didn't like the way she was introduced, but luckily,
oh, okay.
Tarka Jedi agrees with us, but she is not, you know, she hates, he's the new Joffrey is what she's calling Sadavar. Girl, you're right.
That's
funny. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Marvin, let's see. Yeah, let's see how Anna's character develops over the season, and then maybe we can revisit this at the season finale when you're watching and in the chat with us. And speaking of watching and being in the chat, you guys can also find us on iTunes, and please go to iTunes. You can download us there. You'll be able to see our pretty faces, but you'll be able to hear us and give us 5 stars because the other stars don't work. So give us 5 stars, and I'll tell you what, if you comment on there, we'll definitely give you a shout out, like we always do anyways, because especially for the people that are in the chat. But if you can't be in the chat, you know, just go to iTunes and download us, and because 4 stars don't mean crap. It's about the 5 star.
And everybody in the chat wants to talk about Amos. And I have to say, I love Amos.
All right, okay. You guys want to talk about Amos? Okay, fine. You know what? We will do what you guys want to do. Let's go into the ship. Let's talk. I mean, we're going to talk just about Amos. We're going to talk about Alex. We're going to talk about Holden. We're going to talk about Prax. I mean, okay, let's go into the ship because this is one of the coolest scenes. And how did you like what was going on? In the, I guess they keep calling it like Rosinante, like, but it's a contorta,
name, yeah.
But it's
yeah.
a contorta,
yeah. But they haven't quite gotten the habit of the new name yet.
Okay, I mean, so it's a new name. All right. So what do you think about every like overall, and then we'll kind of break it into characters and scenes. What did you think about like the what's going on in the ship?
I liked how Alex stood up for saving the ship, even though I have to say I think part of the reason they went to try and save the ship was that because it's Jules Pierre Mao's ship, they kind of thought he was on it, and they're like, yeah, we're going to capture him and prove ourselves safe and good. But I love the interplay between everyone when we were reminded that Amos isn't just a meathead. When he and Dr. Meng decided to use the plants to create more oxygen on the ship.
So we'll start in the ship where they're on their way to go help Prax get his daughter. I mean, that's what, like, that was Holden's, like, thing, like, his big speech at the end of last episode. Mm-hmm. So we go in there, and he's focused. He's like, I made a promise, let's go do this thing. But then they start getting the alert from Bobby and Abasarala, mm-hmm. saying, like, you know, obviously in vague terms of... So now they're having conflicts within the ship,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was really, really interesting to see that, because Holden's always the guy that's just like, it's about what's being told to them. Mm-hmm. He's a soldier, or like, yes. If he's the leader, it's just like, these are our orders, we follow them. This time around, he's like, no, he's like, I want to go do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas then Alex, I mean, has like a big conflict with, I did not sign up, and maybe this is why you want to be a Martian, you know, is he's like, I didn't sign up to not listen to orders. Mm-hmm. When people are in distress, this is what I signed up to go do. I mean, that's me generalizing a bit, but...
Well, he was saying... that he felt they were being unfair to Mars because they were going to ignore that help signal. And Holden, I feel, almost did a emotional manipulation by saying, you know, we need to go save the child. We promise him about the child. And for me, that wasn't what the motivation was. His motivation is that he's angry with Naomi.
Yeah.
And he wants to drop her off. He's like, you know, I'm done with you. I don't want to talk to you right now. And so with them going out to... they're navigating the relationship again. I mean, because it had gotten to a point where they were family, and it was...
Yeah, their family's kind of being fractured at the moment.
It's very fractured, and now they will be adding 2 new people. That's another fracture. But it wasn't right for them not to go save the rescue ship. When you hear a distress call and someone's in space, you have to save them. Even if they're belters, even if they're earthers, that's just the law of space.
I mean, what I liked too, though, this was really, 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 really cool, is how Holden was like saying, no, like to Prax, you are now a part of this crew. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that, like, it's just like, yeah, you're not our guest. You're not a stowaway. You're, like, whatever. It's like, you are part of it, which also then, like, we kind of, like, know off screen that Prax has, although, I mean, if it were me, I'd be like, laser focused on getting my daughter. But for him, he was still like, we kind of need to do the right thing on some level. So we find out that he, since he's a part of the crew now, he chimes in, breaks the tiebreaker to say, mm-hmm. you know what, let's go get this ship that's in distress.
And I also think he's terrified of what he finds when they go to the planet. I think he, in the back of his mind, feels that when they get there, his daughter will be dead and he'll have lost all of his hope. So to a certain degree, I think he wants to sort of delay it.
Or maybe there's like, yeah, our fear of what she may have turned into.
Yes.
Because he knows that she's there for experiments. So, right, it's just like, if I do go, am I meeting like Frankenstein's monster as opposed to am I seeing my daughter? Or am I seeing a zombie?
Yes.
You know, who looks like my daughter, but is not my daughter in any shape or form in terms of like mentally or emotionally.
Or she'll be a proto-molecule monster child.
Because he's seen it. He's seen the thing now. So yeah. So like,
he knows.
I didn't even think about it. That's genius. I didn't even think about that's why there was the delay of, because like I said, if it were me, I'd be laser focused on wanting to go get my child. I don't have any kids, but I mean, that's just, you know, that's what I would hope that my parents would do for me. Which, and then we'll get to the Amos and Prax scene in a second, because then like it leads them to start going out, and another awesome, cool directing sequence. And so if you guys were on social media today, I tweeted because Wes Chatham was here for the season finale last season with Kaz, and I loved it, and I'm hoping that he comes back at some point this season, but I love this episode. And one of the things I loved about this episode and the directing was the space scene where they're in the ship, they've got to do a bunch of different maneuvers, mm-hmm. so they're tied down, and now, like, Prax, I mean, not quite, I guess, being a perfect ship guy, didn't actually lock down all the tools. And come on, we've all been there, though, too. We've all been there where you open up a toolbox, and no matter how much they have the compartments for everything, the stuff just falls.
Yes. And also, he wasn't on a ship that moves and stuff all the time. So say,
yeah, he's a botanist. Yeah. So, right.
So when you say tie it down, he was like, oh, he twisted it. But I have to say, Amos really should have been clear. Dude, you have to really, like, lock it in or stuff will fall out. You telling me, oh, you know, close it, lock it up. I'm like, oh, okay. Meh.
You know, and I thought, you know, so like, I thought it was like another cool thing, too. It's like, yeah, they're tied down, they're locked, they're oxygens, and then you see all the tools going around, so then it turns into, like,
I was ducking when I was watching. I was like, oh! That was one of my favorite scenes. One of my favorite, not just because of the equipment flying around, but because it really showed his burdening friendship with Dr. Prats.
Or I guess we like see more of it's an introduction of not an introduction, but a continuing kind of like arc of the relationship between these two guys. One guy who is tied emotionally to a daughter, mm-hmm. the other guy that's having issues, like likes to be cold, likes to be a soldier, and has had issues last season with, do I want to be more emotional or do I want to be just a soldier and just be cold and I do my mission and I don't care about how it hurts anybody else?
Well, Amos has always had his friend, and normally his friend was Naomi, but now that he's mad at her, he's looking for another emotional anchor.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Prats satisfies his need of someone who is able to be his emotional, ethical anchor. But Dr. Prats also isn't like Naomi, where he's telling him what to do, which is why I think we're seeing Amos getting more autonomy and being more decisive and being more forthcoming about coming up with ideas and doing things. Because before, Naomi kind of thought for him all the time.
So then we see the cool scene, same thing, same directing, where he's like all over the place trying to help Prax out. And one of the reasons I want Amos West Chatham to come on our show is because I want to ask him about this scene and how they shot it. I mean, yes. I mean, he's all over the place. Like, does he have wires? I mean, are they moving the set around? I mean, you know, do they have it where he's like maybe like when he's hanging down and like it's just the way they shoot it? Like, these are the type of things that are really cool about watching a sci-fi show, watching a show with ships like this, to see like how they can use awesome directing to make certain things look like And maybe even ask him and say, like, dude, do you want to go space travel or not? So,
and I think he has a really strong core for that setup. That stand-up thing.
Yeah, Wes is jacked. So, yeah, I mean, so finally, okay. So then let's move on to Jules Mao. Jules Mao and Dr. Strickland.
Yes.
And the kids.
Oh my gosh.
With the the cool part first is that, yeah, they're clearly experimenting on Praxis' daughter. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, and she's just kind of like, oh, I've been to, like, the first time around, she's cool with the shot. Mm-hmm. And the second time around, she's like, I've been through this before. And the person's like, yeah, okay. And then she's like, ow.
Yes.
So clearly, like, they're upping doses or something's mm-hmm. going on to, you know, and, like, then we see that with her friend that comes in yes. that she's reunited with.
And she sees something is different because he was like, oh my gosh, this is totally cool. And she's looking at him like, yeah, that's not right. I thought that was interesting. I also think she's beginning to realize, where is my father? Why haven't I spoken to my father? I don't know what's going on. And his trying to entice her with the shiny jewel of, oh, well, they told us we're going to be cured. She's looking at him like, I think seeing her father interact, I think he's taught her to be an independent thinker. And I think she's beginning to think, my dad would think there's something off about this, but she's a child, so she doesn't know what, but she knows it's not right completely.
And what do you think about her buddy that comes in? It's like, I got something cool to show you. I mean,
I don't want to be sexist, but he was like, oh, this is totally cool. It's like I'm a video game monster superhero thing. And she's like, nah, I'm not down with that.
I was thinking the same thing. I was just like, that's not actually that cool, man. You got like blue goo glowing in your veins now. It's like, that's not cool to me. It's not like you put on like a robot glove or something. I mean, that's like in your body. Yes. So.
But, you know, if you watch the superhero movies, that would be cool. I don't know what they're watching in the future. But as a adult, I'm looking at it and I'd be like, yeah, this doesn't look right. But if I was a kid, I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm going to be like Superman. This is awesome. But, yeah, no. He seems to be, like, totally fine with everything. And she's not down with it. I think she's going to try and either contact her father or try and escape. But they can't escape. They're on that planet by themselves.
Yeah, we've got so what'd you think about like Mao and Strickland in their conversation?
Mao and Strickland are a douche. His little best friend forever are a douche. I hope they get caught really soon, but I suspect they will not be caught really soon. And they'll be up to their nefarious behavior for a while, experimenting on the children. I think that little boy they showed us is going to be the first one they're going to really turn into a protomolecule monster boy creature.
That's gonna be probably more stable. That we at least in our minds, but I think it's probably gonna be more stable than the one that they blew up in the blast. Not blew up, but I guess like just torched.
Yes.
In the blast.
Yeah, because Mao told him to go ahead and move forward with it, and to me it looks like he'd been doing it incrementally, and now he's gotten the go ahead to really just go full metal jacket, do what you want. I don't care. They're not my kids.
So you have a little like fun kind of, I guess it's like, this is our news segment. It's like, there's not too much, but I think you got like, but Cherry's got a little fun, thing to like say about one of our actors in The Expanse.
Yes, I do. My news and gossip is Wes Chatham is going to be in Escape Plan 2, Hate, starring Sylvester Stallone, Dave Bastia, and Jamie King. So this will be one of his first live-action movies that are going to be in the Cineplex. It's all wrapped up, so I'm assuming it's probably going to be out this summer.
That's another reason why we need Wes here in the studio to ask him what's going on with that. We can follow up with him and stuff, too. But, yeah, the first one, Escape Plan, was Schwarzenegger and Stallone.
Yes.
And then this one, right, it has Stallone in it, Dave Bautista, who's Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's the bad guy in Spectre, I believe. And he's got some other great things coming out. He's a wrestler, obviously. and then clearly Sylvester Stallone's going to be in it, so look forward to that. Finally, predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Cherry?
My big prediction is that Reverend Dr. Anna Valvadov is going to really start investigating and looking around at the UN government and realize they are more corrupt than she even realized.
Okay. No, no, it's cool, cool. Well, no, no, something I didn't cover, but it goes into predictions. That's why I'm saving it. No, it's why I'm saving it is because we finally see, and that's what I mean by the A-team, mm-hmm. finally we see, like, Avasarala and Bobby with the crew together, which, yeah, which is exciting. And that's why I felt like this is one of my favorite episodes. And so now I'm interested to see how the dynamic of everybody works, like having the two of them with the crew, because the crew have, like, always just kind of done their thing in space, mm-hmm. and Bobby's like, you know, I mean, and also too, like, I'm looking forward to seeing the relation between Bobby and Alex as Martians.
Yes, and I also want to find out where the drop ship is, and I want to find out who has the database core. And if it's on the drop ship, or if Bobby and Christian have it, where is it? And again, where is the drop ship? I hope they go pick it up and don't forget them in space.
Okay, well, where can everybody find you on social media? And what other shows are you doing?
They can find me at Cherry_LA on Twitter and Instagram. And I am on The Terror on this one. And that is what I'm up to.
Hey, guys. And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. I'm up next in a few minutes on Netflix Picks. And you can always find Carrie and I every Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the Legion after show. We'll be back next week, same time. Carrie Lane should be in this seat. You want to see my ugly mug, and thank you for watching.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.